All right.
I start out with the question, who is Jesus? And it's really interesting, this passage we are put into, we get a really strong, heavy dose of who is he? His body is shining and glowing, his clothes are bright white. And then there are these two key Old Testament people, men in the life of the Hebrew people, Moses and Elijah, just standing there talking with him. And not only that, there's this voice that comes out of the cloud, God, saying, this is my son, listen to him. So we've learned a lot about Jesus in a few verses if we begin to kind of unpack what's here. This is a very dramatic moment in the lives of the disciples, and it raises some, it tells us some important things, powerful things about who Jesus is, and God has said that very clearly. I want to keep the question before us about who is it that we follow? Who do we listen to in our lives? Does this give Jesus enough credentials for us to see that he is important? There's a lot of things that impinge on us these days about what's most important. We live in kind of a consumer society. This morning as I was working, finishing up the sermon, I got a ding, and that from this thing. And I thought, well, maybe Kitty is dinging me to say something important about the worship service. So I look, and I'm being told by my phone that I have used my screen, I don't know, 10% more this week. And it's like, so what? I don't care about that. But it's like telling me, hey, if you really want to be a good person, you want to up your screen time to more and more and more. And that's kind of a message. A lot of, I guess any of us with our phones on and pay attention to that kind of stuff, getting that kind of nudge all the time. So it's important for me to be aware, and I invite you to be aware of who are we paying attention to? Who do we listen to? I'll throw this question out. Who or what causes you to glow? Jesus is glowing up there on top of the mountain, and it's really clear it's because of his connections, his relationship with God and God's presence in him. Well, the disciples are in this long journey, 3 years of learning and listening and watching to Jesus. They've heard him teaching from a boat. They've experienced him telling them to put their nets out on the other side of the boat and they catch a lot of fish. And then they're invited to become followers, fishers of people with him. They've seen him heal a leper and a man with paralysis, even as he forgives this man's sins. And these people are real outsiders. He has challenged the religious leaders about the purpose of the Sabbath. He's telling them that it's more important to be concerned about God's mission to people in need than it is following the details about the Sabbath. So he's calling his disciples together constantly and giving them power and authority and then sending them out. This is another story that has already happened. Sending them out to practice what they've learned. It's sort of like he's a coach and he's sending them out to play some games and bringing them back and finding out, how did it go? And then he just has had this conversation with his disciples. All right, Peter, all of you, who do you think I am? Who am I? And Peter, as you remember, immediately jumps in and says, you're the Messiah. And Jesus said, yeah, but there's a lot more you need to know before you go out and tell people. Don't go telling people about this right now. You know, because people are expecting me to be a military general and go out there and defeat Rome. That's not what I'm about. I've got to suffer. I've got to be rejected and killed. And then on the third day, I'm going to be raised from the dead. And not only am I going to suffer, but you must deny yourselves too. You must take up your cross. It's right there. Take up your cross and follow me. You're going to have to lose your life in terms of your goals, what you want for your life. in order to save your life, to follow me. Jesus is mentoring his disciples. He's preparing them for their vocation after he departs. He's being like a life coach here. And then he takes his three of his leaders up on the mountaintop, and they have this amazing, kind of crazy, it would be kind of spooky in a way for me, experience where they see him transformed, transfigured, and then he sees these two men that maybe they thought, well, these guys have been dead for a long time, and here they are up here, and they're talking about this mysterious departure that Jesus is going to experience. They're talking about the fact that he's going to die. So I wonder, well, the disciples clearly are confused. They want to build some booths and think this is really a cool time, but they're not understanding that this is a time for them to be trained, to learn more about who Jesus is, and to begin to understand something about his mission. You know, I think you at Lakeview do have a sense of who Jesus is calling you to be and do in this community. I looked at your bulletin. I have a copy of it somewhere right here. And on the front, you've got your mission statement. You all have, I'm sure you know it, right? You could say it to me from heart. I'm going to repeat it, but I'm having to read it. The love of Christ, and you can say it with me, the love of Christ leads us to nurture the spiritual life of our diverse congregation and to do justice and mercy in the world. That's an important mission, and I think in that sense you do get what Jesus has been training his disciples to pay attention to. They're slowly, the disciples slowly beginning to get it. And that's really important. So one of the ways that you suggest in your mission statement that you're going to get who Jesus is to spend time with Jesus. And one of the ways that you do that is through Bible study. In this particular service, Kitty took us back to the Old Testament, and it's really important to recognize that Jesus here doesn't just pop out of into the world out of thin air, that who he is, who he understands himself to be, and what his mission is based on his understanding of God's activity in the history of the life of his ancestors, the Jews. And there are a lot of ancient connections on this mountaintop, this transfiguration, that you perhaps you remember Kitty read about. The main emphasis in that scripture was every time Moses was in Jesus or God's sight or presence, he came out glowing, and it kind of freaked his people out, so he started putting a veil on after he came out. And then maybe that would fade a little bit, but every time he went back, he would glow again. And now this interesting comparison is being made between Moses and Jesus. He's glowing. And remember, Moses led his people from slavery, and Jesus is leading his disciples to reach out to the poor, to people who have been left out, who have been seen as unworthy by the power people of Jesus' day. Moses and his people's escape from Egypt, remember, is called the Exodus, or interestingly enough, the departure. And the Jews understand that journey as their redemption by God. God saved his people then and gave them a homeland. And God is rescuing his people. He rescued his people and kept the promise he had made to Abraham. Now, Elijah is a great prophet who lived much later than Moses. And he's bringing God's word to the kings and queens who are, interestingly enough, not being leaders like God called them to be. Instead, they are grabbing land unjustly from their people. So Elijah is speaking God's truth to the power in his day. So here's another link between Jesus and the Old Testament, because Jesus is called to challenge the power structure of his day. We keep hearing him challenge the Pharisees, who are really part of the power structure of that community. Now here we see these two spirit-filled men talking with Jesus about his departure that he is going to accomplish in Jerusalem. He's going on a journey, but his exodus is his death on the cross. That's really quite a different kind of journey, although Moses' journey wasn't easy either. This new exodus is at the heart of God's second, or we hear about a lot in the New Testament, the new covenant God is making with his people. This is a new agreement, a new commitment that God is fulfilling. As God does this, he's fulfilling another of God's promises to Abraham. Centuries before, God had said to Abraham, through your descendants, you will be a blessing to all the peoples of the earth. And when we come now to the Lord's table in a little bit, we're going to remember Jesus' death. The bread tangibly reminds us of Jesus' presence with us. The wine, the grape juice, is a witness to God's new agreement, new covenant with us, of God's forgiving love for you and me, for the church, and for the whole world. As Moses, the leader of the first Exodus, and Elijah, the mighty prophet, who challenged the power people, kings with God's word, left the mountaintop. Remember that cloud that came over the disciples and Jesus. And the voice said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." The disciples have been learning a lot, and now they're really getting confronted with this mystical experience that ties them in with the Old Testament, with seeing Elijah and Moses, and with seeing Jesus with that glow of God's presence on him. And you all, me, we are baptized people. And we've, in a sense, when we are baptized, we make the commitment to the church family and to Jesus to listen to Jesus. It wasn't quite put in those words, but to listen. If you're like me, though, I'm finding it's taking a lifetime to learn what that means. And it keeps changing, it keeps growing and expanding. The disciples spent a lot of time with Jesus. They prayed with him. Every day they were with him. And we do that here through Bible study, through worshiping like we're doing now here at Lakeview. We will do it again, like coming together around the table, participating in Christ's supper, the Lord's supper with one another. And then if we do studying and praying ourselves in our own spaces, that's another way that we are with Jesus. These are all ways that the love of Christ can nurture the spiritual life of your diverse congregation through worship, through Bible study, through communion, through prayer study. And that is nurturing your spiritual life, you, this diverse congregation that your mission statement challenges you to be a part of, or says you are a part of, or you claim to be a part of. Kitty and I talked on Friday as we planned for today's service. I know when Kitty was asked to be the lectionary person today and this month, she didn't know that the preacher was going to say, "And Kitty, I'd like to have you be a part of my sermon. Would you please answer some questions?" So one of my questions, and you could kind of just move through what I've asked you, but my questions are, how do you listen to Jesus here in the church and when you're by yourself, on your own, out in your daily life? And where do you see God at work in your life and in the Lakeview community? I'm going to let you just have at it.
Like all of you, I do listen to our mission statement. I pray. I read a book years ago when I was still in high school called Are You Running With Me, Jesus? And the point of it was that not all prayer is long 30-minute prayers. A lot of times, you're praying on the run. And I would have to say that I took that as my form of prayer, so that I would do it constantly throughout the day, throughout the week, wherever I am, whether I'm here, on the highway, in my workplace, when I worked, those kinds of things. So I listen for God, and I particularly look for God's joys for the day so that I will be able to express my gratitude for what God has accomplished in the world. I firmly believe that God brought me to Lakeview from New Orleans, whatever, 30-some-odd years ago. There is no way I would have ended up here in this place unless God played a role in that. I had worshipped here maybe 3 years before I left the city, and those 5 times were the first years of college, maybe once after we got married. And yet I knew people would ask, well, what are you going to be doing here tonight? I'm going to leave the Presbyterian Church. That was a God. There's no doubt in my mind. I see God at work every day when I come here. Jerry Richards yesterday told me, I think that God is supposed to love one another. And you see that so well at Lakeview. And she's so right. We do love each other. We care for one another. We take care of one another. We try to reach one another, to touch one another. That's God at work here in this place at this time. And then when I had my stem cell transplant last summer, God was at work there. I could feel the presence of the people praying for me. It wasn't if you all prayed for me, friends prayed for me, family prayed for me, other entire congregations were praying for me. And I know that's what lifted me up and brought me through. And for that, I am very grateful. And I feel much stronger from the word of the Lord and stronger in my actions. My mission as a result of that gratitude, as you all know, is mission and outreach. We've got crop walk coming up. We will be doing that. We have fast coming up. We will be doing that. We reach out to the community to share that love that we feel. And for that, I'm very grateful. On the note of fast, I just want to let you know, I know I harp on it all the time, but we are one of the very few congregations that turns out 100% of our average worship attendance to the Nehemiah Action. Most people go, you know, they get 70%, they get 80%. But you're not 100% of our average worship attendance. Not quite our membership, but that average worship attendance. That's you. That's God working in you, telling you that this is the mission to do justice, as well as the other things that we already do. There's Operation Attack, as well. These are the things. Okay?
All right. Thank you. Do I hear an amen, congregation?
Amen.
All right. Kitty, thank you for sharing some of your life, your faith, places where you see God at work. I took a few notes. I picked up on the run, and that's a helpful way to think about that anytime, wherever you are, you're on the run, whether you're working, whether you're driving, that you're looking for joy. Where is God at work in the world? And you, one of the ways I heard you lift up God's presence is where there is joy. And it was so clear. Okay, you're moving back to St. Petersburg. Job? You know, usually we answer, well, I'm going back for a particular job. You say, Lakeview. I'm going to Lakeview. And you've been a part of Lakeview ever since. You talk about the love and care that you all give to each other. You talked about the love that you experienced during your stem cell transplant, and the prayers that you received from you all, and I would confirm, yes, other congregations, friends all over the area, all of, maybe the world, probably. So that, I appreciate your witness as you also talk about your connections, reaching out to the community through Crop Walk, through FAST, and lifting up the ministry and the presence of this congregation in FAST. I think you are lifting up ways that Jesus tells us in the scripture to listen to him, that you are listening to Jesus as you do it on the run and as you are involved in the life and mission here. You've mentioned also Operation Attack. which is such an important ministry here in this congregation. I look at your bulletin and see the prayers for the Center for Development in Central America and know that, that you have that connection in Nicaragua, Central America, big and broader. I was moved this week by standing with some Methodist folks who are in tears and pain about the vote their church took on the LGBTQIA community. And I know that, that we can lift those folks up in our own prayers and as we talk with folks in the community. And you talked some about FAST this year. I'm looking forward to seeing you all, your 100% of your worshiping community at the Nehemiah Action on April the 8th in Tropicana Field. I'll be there. I'm looking forward to seeing some of you and others in the congregation there. So it's an exciting community that you're a part of, and you all are aware of God's interaction, presence, love as you share with each other. Jesus gave his disciples in the scriptures we were reading and in all of the New Testament power and authority to carry out his mission in the world. And he gives us power to speak truth to power, like in FAST, and to do mercy, like through Operation Attack. I invite you, I challenge you to continue to listen to Jesus in your alone time, in your running time through your life. Spend time with him in this community. That's not hard to do. Jesus is here with you, loving you. And I invite you to continue in your relationships, to love, share with one another, forgive each other when that's needed, and it always is in any community. Reach out and work for justice. And know Jesus' love for you. And I want to see, well, not do I have to look at it, I don't have to see it exactly, but would invite you to glow with the light of God that Jesus' presence gives you. And you don't even have to wear a veil to hide that light from other people. In fact, it's better not to. I would invite us to pray together for a moment. Gracious and powerful God, thank you for committing again to show your love for all people through your Son. Help us as Lakeview Church to know you love each one of us. Continue to empower Lakeview to serve those in need around us. Give us courage to speak truth to power that ignores the poor, the homeless, those on the margins of our society. And may this church and may we as individuals shine with your love, Lord Jesus. Amen.